Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. As I said, we will be coming back on and off through the program to the Japan nuclear crisis. The developments are coming so frequently. The latest, according to the Associated Press, is that emergency workers forced to retreat from the nuclear power plant when radiation levels soared prepare to return after emissions drop to safer levels. The pullback cost precious time in the fight to prevent a nuclear meltdown, further escalating the crisis spawned by last week's devastating earthquake. It was unclear what happened in the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant's overheating reactors after late morning Japan time when the workers stopped pumping in seawater trying to cool their fuel rods. Officials gave only sparse information about the reactors, but conditions at the plant appeared to be worsening. White, steam-like clouds drifted up from one reactor, which the government said likely emitted the burst of radiation that led to the workers' withdrawal. The plant's operator reported a fire at another reactor for the second time in 2 days. And what an ethical quandary to be in, a virtual suicide mission for these workers to stay in there but save the rest of the country from elevated radiation levels. And, of course, we will continue to follow this through the morning. But with Japan in the throes of that nuclear crisis, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are taking stock of our own nuclear power plants. Governor Cuomo campaigned on closing Indian Point. So did the state attorney general, Eric Schneiderman. New Jersey has the oldest nuclear plant in the country. And even Governor Christie is now challenging Washington over the status of spent fuel rods in the state. Residents in New Jersey and Connecticut depend on atomic energy for more than half of their electricity and are two of only five states in the country to rely on it so heavily. In New York State, roughly a third of our power comes from atomic power plants. And in Westchester, one of the Indian Point plant reactors is up for renewal in 2013. And geologists say the plant itself sits astride two, you guessed it, seismic fault lines. So joining me now to talk about the tri-state area's use of nuclear power and the political implications is WNYC's Bob Henley. Hi.
Good morning.
Indian Point, one of 27 plants across the country, which the Nuclear Regulatory Commission said on Monday needs to review and possibly upgrade their seismic systems. So as we watch Japan, there's the sense that there are obviously major differences between the seismic threat there and the seismic threat here. How different and, dare I ask, how similar might they be?
Well, there's a couple of issues. One is, despite the fact that we've been to the moon, we still know precious little about seismic activity. And so what you see is a lot of science, conjecture, but, you know, it's in some ways, even though it's of great consequence, we still have a lot of question marks. And one of the things is that you have basically a risk threat matrix. You look at the past performance of the Earth's subsurface, and then you make a decision based on that. Historically, the Rampal fault line, and I was a beat reporter, you know, you get a thing where the local police stations get jammed up in like Mendham or PPAC Gladstone, and Mrs. Smith's teapot falls off and breaks. It's a 3.0 in Mendham. To go back to the later part of the 19th century, you do see a 5.5, scientists project back and say it was a 5.5 that took down some fireplaces. Now, here's the thing. We are constantly, in terms of situational awareness, have to take new information that we're getting. There's a very thoughtful listener sent something about a 2008 Lamont-Doherty finding about an additional fault line. And the question is, how do you take this new scientific information that you have and inform the risk threat matrix that you're living with now?
The Indian Point plant. Sits on the Ramapo seismic zone fault line. That's what was known previously.
Right.
The Lamont Doherty that you referred to, Columbia University, they recently found that the Stamford Peekskill fault line intersects that Ramapo zone roughly 1 mile from Indian Point. So their latest calculations are that those two fault lines together are capable of a 7.0 quake or greater.
Right. I think the thing here is that the Ramapo runs roughly from Pennsylvania along the Redding's Prong up through Morris, Bergen County, and then crossed under the Hudson. I would say, though, that for me, the thing I've been focusing on is the question of the underlying technology in the Japanese plant. And that's the whole concept of these boiling water reactors. There's been a lot of good reporting on this in the Times. Tom Zeller has an important piece
this morning
that looks at really the very controversial nature of this. I'm in debt to Dr. Thomas Cochran from the NRDC, the chief nuclear physicist, who pointed out to me that there's 23 of these plants in the United States. There's two in New Jersey. There's a few in New York State. And these basically do not have the same robust and expensive containment that the pressurized water reactors have, such as Indian Point. And there was an interesting...
And I'll mention that. We're going to talk to one of Dr. Cochran's colleagues from NRDC on the show next hour.
Right. One of the things here is that there was this internal colloquy that Zeller's reporting brings out in the Times within the Atomic Energy Commission, which was the precursor of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, where the scientists are saying, listen, we don't think this is safe enough. It doesn't have the redundancies. But there's a sense that, well, listen, it's so far gone now in terms of deployment. This could be a death knell for atomic power. So that's a case where now, in light of what happened in Japan, we do have to reassess our ability to say with certainty, because we now have new performance information about how this is unraveled.
Though we should say, so as not to fearmonger, that the quake itself apparently did not damage the plants in Japan, even at 9.0. It was the tsunami that they were only prepared for to a certain height of flooding, and it went over that, and it was the flooding that knocked out the power and the generator backup, and therefore the ability to cool the fuel rods.
Right, and the plant operators.
And we're not getting that on the banks of the Hudson.
Right, now, but I guess the thing is with the plant operators, of course, Oyster Creek being one, make the observation that they have basically looked at the local conditions and they're confident that the NRC has put them through their paces. They say that post 9/11, they looked at this question of redundancies in terms of having the generating capacity in the event that you do lose power to be able to do it. But that still doesn't, I guess, get away from the underlying debate, even if you're a proponent of atomic power, as to whether or not these are the best designs or not.
What are the politics of this? If Cuomo and Schneiderman campaigned on shutting down nuclear power at Indian Point, how can they do it?
I think that if you look at Cuomo's energy book, which is very detailed, it's a very thoughtful analysis how point by point, by reinventing New York State's power grid, you could do it. Indian Point, I guess you would say, generates about 25% of the juice that it takes to run New York City. New York City and Westchester are responsible for about, more than 40% of the demand throughout the state. And if you go through Cuomo's analysis between renewable energy, reorganizing the grid, streamlining the way it's distributed, he sees a case where you could actually, actually do without it.
And some of the stats that people should find interesting, nuclear power provides roughly a third of the energy in New York State. Indian Point is a major provider for Westchester and New York City, especially roughly 2,000 megawatts coming from Indian Point. What would replace that electricity if Indian Creek gets shut down, or if Indian Point, if their reactor licenses are not renewed? We have today nuclear 30% in New York State, gas and oil 23%, hydro 18%, coal 13%, gas 12%, other renewables only 2%. Wind, for example.
That's the window he's talking about really opening up, and the renewable wind side, and also looking at the bottlenecks of the way that energy gets around the state. And I think he makes a pretty strong argument for that. The thing about Indian Point that you have to look at is that it's already passed its science review within the NRC. They've kept it open for this public comment period to accommodate the politics of it. I would actually look to the north. I think what's interesting, what's happening in Vermont there, where you have a standoff with the Democratic governor and state senator, that state senate, where they voted to oppose it, and the NRC is saying they want to continue it to be relicensed. And so that, I wonder, that is something I want to see, I think, maybe resolved in the federal courts. And that's where you have this case where, now in Governor Christie's case, he had a situation where Oyster Creek, as you said, the oldest plant in the country, was coming up for a license renewal. It wanted another 20 years lease of life. Governor Corzine, on the way out the door, says, wait a minute, he takes counsel from environmentalists. They say they need to have cooling towers to accommodate to prevent the die-off that happens when the warmer water is released from Oyster Creek. Corzine goes with the environmentalists. The company says basically, hey, wait a minute. You know what? This is going to run us $800 million. We're not going to build these towers. Christie comes in and splits the difference. He says, okay, listen, the way it works out is you're not going to have to build the towers, but you're going to be out of business 10 years earlier. So that's a case of how the politics in the real world plays out.
2019.
Right.
Oyster Creek going to shut down. That's still quite a few years from now if they're concerned about it. But yesterday came news that Governor Christie has joined New York, Vermont, and Connecticut on legal action to keep the NRC from extending the storage of nuclear waste from 30 years to 60 years at power plants. Now, this, of course, goes back to the fact that there is no permanent repository for spent nuclear fuel in the United States. They talk about this Yucca Mountain site in Nevada. It's a big political football. And in the meantime, every nuclear power plant has to keep this stuff on site. I guess they want to extend that now from 30 years on site to 60 years. And why is Chris Christie, of all people, saying no?
Well, no, I think that when it comes down to the local public health, this stuff trumps parties, Brian. There really isn't a Democrat-Republican question on this. And what this bipartisan coalition of governors and states is trying to do is force the federal government to be a grown-up. I mean, the federal government foisted this atomic power policy on the states. And so the governors are saying, wait a minute, you have to have the moral courage to follow through and come up with a comprehensive solution. The other thing that Jeff Tittle from the Sierra Club point he makes is that even though you have a situation where Exelon is withdrawing from Oyster Creek, the bottom line is they're going to be there forever precisely because of the after-action requirements.
Now, of course, there are some environmentalists who say, aha, why should we centralize storage of spent nuclear fuel at Yucca Mountain or anywhere else if you want to really have a legitimate science and politics of this, make every area of the country that decides it's going to have a nuclear power plant for its own benefit in fact store it itself, a kind of in-my-backyard
policy. But that's
policy.
The problem with this is that energy,
In order to show the people of every region that benefits from nuclear power that there are costs associated and they can't just move those environmental risks off to Nevada or somewhere.
What's interesting about that is it was brought up in Senator Sanders' observations about Vermont Yankee. These things really jump state lines. With the way the power grid moves around and power is brokered, it's really hard to assign the state the sovereign responsibility for the power generated. However, there's no doubt about where the rods are going to live.
WNYC's Bob Henley, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. All right, we've been through inequality in America, nuclear meltdowns, filibusters, and the like. So let's take a few minutes out and just hang out with each other. It's time to play advice roulette. Let's try a little experiment. We've done some of these caller roulettes before in the past. We're going to try a different kind right now. We will randomly pair anyone who needs advice with someone who can give advice and see if we can help each other out in two different categories. Here's how it works. We will be seeking advice and providing advice in one of two categories: relationships, family, marriage, dating, whatever, and New York life. Everything from how to apartment hunt in New York to commuting and shopping. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to open our phones right now, and if you've got a burning advice question in either of those two categories, give us a call right now. And if you think you are qualified to give advice in either of those two categories, give us a call right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So if you're the person all your friends turn to for relationship advice, this is the segment for you. If you're a de facto New York City survival guide, you can give people tips on what to do and how to get around and everything unique to New York. We need your help. If you're going to be the advice givers on surviving in New York, life in New York, or relationships, or if you want advice in either of those two categories, call in right now and we'll see if we can match you up for a little Brian Lehrer Show caller roulette, today's edition advice roulette, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. 9692. We'll come back with those calls right after this.